In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been thinking a lot recently about buildings, a lot about our church building in particular. We own four properties here at St. Nicholas. We own the church itself, the rectory next door, the rental building next to that, and then the parking lot on the other side of the rental building. And most everything here is old. There is a great need for repair and for ongoing maintenance. Some projects are small, some projects are really big. Last year we fixed a leaky roof. We have some very serious problems that we are keeping at bay in our domes, our cupolas. There's wiring and plumbing, heating and cooling, cleaning, renting, inspecting, flooding, shoveling, plowing, and painting, painting, painting. Always painting. And our parish council puts a tremendous amount of time and effort thinking about our buildings and about our maintenance and about our finance. A lot of time. And the work has to be done for certain. But I admit to you that I often feel that these buildings steal away our good time and effort and energy. Those are the bad days. On the bad days, these buildings feel like a burden, a real burden. They sap us. We are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, to minister in love to those who need us. And who has the energy to do all of that after keeping up with the problems around here? There are meetings to prepare for, and there are meetings to prepare for, contractors to speak with, work to oversee, legal issues to investigate, frets about money, frets about schedules, frets about the next thing to chip, peel, crack, rot, leak, break down, fall down, melt down, or sometimes accidentally get knocked down. We have such a dedicated parish council here to oversee all of that. The parish council does so much hard work. Those are the bad days. But in reality, buildings are not bad. Buildings are not bad. Buildings are a gift. We are blessed to have what we have given to us by our forefathers and mothers. When I get discouraged, I simply remember the word parish. I remember where that word comes from. The word parish has a beautiful and noble history. When Jesus lived, way back, 2,000 years ago, in the empire of Greece and Rome and the area around Palestine, where you had a wealthy landowner, his mansion, the big house that he lived in, was called the Oikos. You probably see the Oikos yogurt, right? In modern Greek, it's pronounced Oikos. It means house or home. That was the mansion of the wealthy landowner. It was big and elegant. It had room for the extended family and room for all of the required servants. But next to the Oikos, next to the mansion, there was a second house, much smaller. It was called the Para Oikos, the house alongside the house. The Para Oikos was a house built not for the family. It was built for the stranger. The Para Oikos was built to receive the sojourner and to welcome the exile. Those poor souls who were traveling through a foreign land and had no place to stay because nobody wanted them. The Para Oikos was a house of hospitality built for the migrant. Travelers could stay there and rest and gather strength. It was a place of refuge. And it is this word, Para Oikos, that becomes our word parish. I love that. A parish today, our parish, the parish of St. Nicholas, is a descendant of these houses of hospitality in Christ's time. If names mean anything, and they do, our church, our building, is a place of rest for exiles and refugees, for aliens and sojourners. It is a place where Christ as Master welcomes us and gives us rest too. This building is given so that as pilgrims and aliens in this world, we might have a place to enjoy the Savior's hospitality. I love that. And when I remember this, when I remember that to be a parish is to be a place of rest for the sojourner, this helps me to remember that buildings are not bad. Buildings are not bad. Buildings are a blessing. The sin we fall into is the sin of failing to use the buildings correctly. This morning, two Gospels were proclaimed. One for the Sunday, and the other for the feast of the entrance of the Theotokos that we will celebrate later this evening. We read that one in anticipation of the feast. And in these two Gospels, we have the tale of two buildings. In the first Gospel, we hear the parable of the rich man, whose possessions grow so impressive that he needs to build bigger barns to hold all of those possessions. So he tears down the old and he builds the new so that he can take his rest and enjoy life, enjoy his prosperity. The rich man could have used his wealth differently. He could have built one of these paraikoses next to his own mansion. He could have built a parish to house the alien and the weary. But he is not in that business. He's not in the business of comforting others. We know from the parable he is in the business of building for his own continued comfort. In the second gospel reading, we hear of Christ's encounter with the sisters, Mary and Martha of Bethany. Never forget, they are on our iconostasis right there. Mary and Martha of Bethany. We know the story. It's a familiar one. There is the sister Mary who chooses the one thing needful. Mary chooses to sit at the feet of Christ. And there's Martha, the one distracted by much serving. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, we know, live in Bethany. And Bethany has this amazing history. Bethany is near Jerusalem. It sits a little bit to the east of Jerusalem. And Bethany was built to be a sanctuary city. That's the term we would use today. Bethany was created so that poor and the sick and the suffering would have a safe place to live, so that they would not be abandoned. Bethany has an almshouse for the poor. It most likely was a place of refuge for lepers. And in Bethany, either you are sick or you are there to take care of the sick. And most likely, Martha and Mary and Lazarus are among the caregivers in Bethany. Citizens of Bethany dedicated to caring for others. This is no doubt why Jesus loves them so much. And the Beth in Bethany is a word that means house. Think of Bethlehem. We know the word Bethlehem, right? House of bread. Or Bethel, meaning house of God. And Bethany, the name Bethany means house of afflictions. It means a house of misery and poverty. Bethany is a house for the unwell. Bethany, in other words, is a parish. A true paraikos, a whole city of rest for the outcast. And so proclaimed this morning by Christ is this tale of two buildings. There are the barns of the perishing rich man, and there is the living parish of Bethany, in which Martha and Mary and Lazarus labor in love and mercy to meet the needs of others. And so churches like ours, blessed with considerable possessions, we face those two possibilities. When we gather in this place, do we gather in Bethany? Or do we gather in bigger barns so that we may eat and drink and make merry? Is this a house for the afflicted? Or is this a place to store up our goods for many years and to take our rest? If we need some help in making a choice and keeping our focus, let's not forget how Jesus votes. When Jesus wants to rest, where does Jesus go? Christ goes to Bethany. Jesus, in fact, is himself among the least who finds comfort and refuge there. There's no room for Christ in the rich man's barns, with all the wheat and the wine and the oil. He is rejected there as surely as he is rejected at the inn on that road to Bethlehem. But in Bethany, Jesus finds a home, though he is homeless. When Jesus calls us to gather and to offer us the one thing needful, where does Jesus go? He goes to Bethany. It is in Bethany that we can sit and that we can learn at the Master's feet. It is in the true parish, the house of the afflicted, that we find our Lord offering himself to us in the mysteries of the church. It is in Bethany that bread and wine become the holy body and blood of Christ. In the rich man's barns, bread and wine remain only ever that, food which decays and rots. It doesn't become a feast in the kingdom. And when Jesus weeps, who does he weep for? He weeps for those who show love and mercy just as he shows love and mercy. He weeps for Lazarus. He does not weep for the rich man. He speaks to the rich man harshly. Fool, says Christ, don't you know that this night your soul shall be required of you? Brothers and sisters, God has given us much. Do we aim at Bethany, or do we aim at barns? Will this place be a true parish for the sojourner, or will this place perish in the manner of the rich man? Are we on track to be the Bethany of Martha and Mary, or do we lay up treasures for ourselves in place of being rich towards God? You know, except for a few hours on a Sunday, St. Nicholas can sometimes be a sleepy place. It can certainly seem less like Bethany and more like a barn. But this is a house of rest and sanctuary. And it is because it starts with you and it starts with me. This is our house of rest and sanctuary. And then it moves on and we extend that to the whole world. Brothers and sisters, come to church. Come to church not just to light a candle on Sundays. Come to pray at the other services. Come to feast days. Come and pray on your way to and from work. Come and spend time with friends. Ask for and make opportunities to be here. This is a place of rest and comfort. The Lord greets us here. And if you live far away, chances are you drive by a handful of Orthodox churches to get here. On a weekday, go there to pray. It's one family. The one and the same Lord greets you there as well. And then with God's direction, press on and open these doors more widely to the needs of the community. Join with our St. Amelia Fellowship in particular, as we explore what love looks like to our neighborhoods on the North Shore. Do you have an idea or a dream for helping others? Share it. Do you want St. Nicholas to be the Lord's Bethany, this place to be his favorite place of rest? Then St. Nicholas has to be a place where the lonely and the suffering find daily bread. They are precious to Christ. And where they are, there he is among them. This morning as we approach the Holy Chalice, remember that we too have been welcomed by our Lord as sojourners and as exiles. That we too are aliens in need of the Lord's help. We have been received by the Lord, and now we are called to receive others. And as Christ says to his disciples, and he says it to us, freely have you received, and now freely give. Amen.